Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Volume 2, Chapter 4, Text 235. I'm going to do a few verses today. They're short commentaries, but I'll start with Text 235, 236, and 237. I will also, if devotees wish to stay on, I anticipate that I will also resume japa sessions as well, and we'll spend some time chanting japa together. And my intention is to just do as we did before, except it will be on, for now, it will be on Saturday and Sunday. One other announcement before I begin, I should also say, just so that you're aware, when I gave classes on Brihad Bhagavatamrita for the Bhakti Sangama festival, and they were posted online, our YouTube, it seems that the impression was given that I'm back online, and within a few days I had a minimum of 5 requests. That was just within a few days. 5 requests for classes in various places, and they're still coming. So I will probably keep the 2 classes a week on Brihad Bhagavatamrita on Saturday and Sunday, and I'll try to fit in the other requests on the weekdays. And those classes will be announced with the system that has been set up. Mathuranath is the communicator. He sends out notices for anyone interested in participating in other classes that I may give during the week, and I'll try to make sure that the notifications of those classes are sent several days prior to those classes. But that's more or less how I'm looking at the immediate future. Saturday, Sunday, Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Weekdays, there may be other classes spontaneously based upon my commitment to other requests that I receive. And they'll be on Zoom, streamed and translated, and but times will probably not be at the fixed times, because I'm going to be accommodating the requests I've been receiving from these other places. I'm not going to list all the places, but I don't think they're going to follow my schedule. So, Text 235. Tadbhavotkarshamardhuyam vidustadrasa sevina tatratyastvam apijyasyasi achirat tat vasadataha. Translation. Persons who serve the transcendental taste of this ecstasy can realize its super excellence and sweetness. Since you belong to the place where Mahabhava is known, very soon you will surely understand it by the mercy of the Lord. Commentary. Out of humility, Narada implies that he is unable to understand the ecstasy of prema. But as an intimate associate of Lord Narayan and a witness of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka, he knows much more than he has disclosed. Gopakumar is also eligible for this privileged understanding because he was born in Gokul and graced by the mercy of Sri Gokulanath. I'm going to excuse myself for 45 seconds. I'm a little bit out of practice and I didn't give myself any water to drink. I have to go get some water. Texts 236 and 237. Sri Gopakumar Uvacha Evam Nijeshta Deva Sri Gopala Charanab Jayo Nitaram Dashanot Kanta Tadvacha Mevya Vardhata Tadrig bhava visheshasha vatyapyad channi tatkshanat tabhyam shokarna vekshiptam mam alakshya hasantavyam santvayam. Sri Gopakumara said, these words of Narada greatly increased my anxious eagerness to see the lotus feet of Sri Gopal, my worshipable Lord. Quickly, a powerful storm-like urge also arose in me, a hope to achieve the kind of ecstasy that Narada had just described. Seeing me cast by this hope and eagerness into an ocean of sorrow, Narada consolingly spoke. Commentary. Pure devotees revere Narada Muni for preaching the glories of the Supreme Lord all over the universe. Gudha Vaishnava Siddhanta Mani Manjushika Hatat Sputam Udgatita Yena Tam Prapano Smi Naradam. I take shelter of Narada, who forced open the secret treasure chest in which the jewels of the Vaishnava philosophical conclusions were kept. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unminitam Dhyana Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Ukam Karoti Vachalam Bhangum Bhangayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dhinataranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Niravishesha Shanyavari Pasyachade Satarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'm going to read just a couple of verses. which were our final verses spoken at the Bhakti Sangama festival, because I want to summarize that point because it leads into today's verses. We were speaking about Mahabhava and its external appearance. And based on its external appearance, foolish people may perceive it to be something other than what it actually is. And we spoke a couple of verses and we gave an explanation also from various sources. The reason why these descriptions and of Mahabhava and the essence of Prema Bhakti are sometimes hidden for those who are unqualified to understand it. And those verses are the verses I wish to read and then give a short summary of it. It's text 233. Well, no, 231. When persons addicted to mundane vision see the bewildering symptoms of ecstasy born from pure love of God, they ridicule the devotees. Because such mundane persons have no desire to achieve devotional service, the Supreme Lord withholds from them his prema bhakti. And the commentary, in the commentary, it was stated, because the Lord has unlimited compassion for every living entity, he refrains from introducing the mysteries of pure devotional service to those who are unprepared. And in text 234, we are not able to describe completely this specific ecstatic state, nor is it proper for us to do so. And even if the most perfect of scriptures, those dedicated to promoting devotional service, were to describe it in detail, the effect on ignorant people would be contrary. Both these verses highlight a similar point. And in the commentary of this verse, Srila Sanatana Goswami explains the reason why it's compassionate for the Lord to hide this prema bhakti for those who are unqualified and who may ridicule devotees. And that is explained that when the Supreme, at the last paragraph of text 234, I'm pointing this out because there's a translator, and I hope the translator can keep up with me. When the supreme ecstasy of prema in separation appears outwardly like supreme distress, there is nothing wrong with this except that persons lacking spiritual knowledge will misunderstand devotional service to be a miserable experience and will have nothing to do with it. They will turn instead to impersonal jnana to achieve liberation, or to materialistic karma to fulfill their desires for happiness. Rather than listen to the perfect authorities on bhakti, they will hear from ordinary ignorant men. So, this is described as this knowledge is Rajaguhyam, the king of confidential knowledge, It's the most secret of a secret. Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavicham Idam Uttamam Prataksavagamam Domyam Sasukyam Katram Avyayam. It is the most secret of all secrets. And we also refer to a verse from the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes how the Lord is pleased with those devotees who do not disclose that which is meant to be kept secret to the appropriate audiences. There is one verse in the 11th canto to that effect. And we also cited an example from the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which was an explanation why Srila Sukadeva Goswami spoke about jnana in his final instructions to Maharaj Parikshit. And the explanation was also given in the same way, is that to keep it hidden from those, Maharaj Parikshit fully understood the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And of course, the proof of it is Brihad Bhagavatamrita. That's one proof. Sukadeva Goswami also was testing Maharaj Parikshit to see if he actually captured the essence, as explained previously throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam. Certainly, emphasis was given. Nothing but pure devotional service. But he gave instructions, his last instructions. Some people may think, oh, just see, this is it. All the instructions that previously he had given were just simply meant so that he could perfect his existence by jnana. And for those who think that way, then the Lord gave him a way to justify it as so. And therefore, even the word is used that Sukadeva Goswami, in essence, he cheated them. Just as the same way as Mohini Murti, she also cheated the demons. In other words, the Lord gives what one wants. If they're having all heard all of Srimad Bhagavatam, one concludes that it's jnana, that the perfection is jnana. After hearing everything, then the Lord gives what one wants. Let him think that way. But for the devotees who've properly understood the essence in the message, then it will not be hidden. It will be revealed. Everything will be revealed. And in fact, even Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur described that Sukadeva Goswami's instructions to Parikshit Maharaj were actually parokshavad, which are for those who wanted to hear it from an impersonal point or liberationist point of view, they could hear it that way. But for those who understood the essence, they heard it completely differently. Completely differently. They understood that those instructions were for Parikshit Maharaj, that Parikshit Maharaj found complete shelter at Krishna's lotus feet in all of those instructions, including those final instructions. So those were the last points that we made in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita class at the Bhakti Sangama Festival. It leads to today's verses, because today's verse begins that persons who serve the transcendental taste of this ecstasy, they can realize its super excellence and sweetness. Since you belong to the place where Mahabhava is known, in other words, since you, Gopakumara, belong to that place where ecstatic loving devotional service in the mood of Spontaneous devotional service is realized and performed by everyone as symptomized by your disposition towards Madan Gopal. Then very soon you will surely understand it by the mercy of the Lord. I took interest here how it's written that persons who serve the transcendental taste of this ecstasy, it's very nicely, I like it. It really gives us an understanding that sometimes we think that, and this is going to come out in the next verse also, come out even more clear. We think that ecstasy, you know, is, I want to taste that ecstasy. You know, I want that ecstasy to serve me. But actually that ecstasy derives great pleasure in serving the devotees, in manifesting itself, manifesting. Why? Because that ecstasy, as we spoke of previously, is none other coming from Srimati Radharani. And she wants to give that ecstasy. And she gives all the different varieties of pleasures of pure devotional service. She's very, very eager to give it. So, because she's so eager to give it, persons who serve the transcendental taste of this ecstasy, in other words, they, rather than want to taste it, they want to give the pleasure to the dispenser of it and serve the dispenser of that ecstasy by aspiring to serve in that way. So I thought it was very nice the way it's described here. Serve the transcendental taste of this ecstasy. And since you belong to the place where Mahabhava is known, of course, that Mahabhava, we spoke of also at the Bhakti Sangama festival. It's the highest state, only experienced actually by the gopis of Vraj. And Srimati Radharani, of course, she is the embodiment of Mahabhava, and she is the... because she manifests Madan Mahabhava, which is the highest ecstasy with which only she and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu experience. And yet, the intimate associates, or the intimate servants, the gopis, they can experience this ecstasy of Mahabhava. And therefore, it is referred to as the place where Mahabhava is known. Of course, Mahabhava is also referred to here in these verses of intense separation. The ecstasy, or call it the agony and the ecstasy. The ecstasy of great sorrow. And I wanted to read this a little bit about this. I wanted to read a reference from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. I looked for something rather than explaining it myself. I thought it would be more appropriate to let Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami, describe why is it that sorrow, a devotee experiences sorrow. Because when one hears that this is one of the bhavas or the symptoms of ecstasy, it may sound like it's material suffering. And I found a very nice reference in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which explains a little bit about this. But before I read it, I wanted to speak about one other topic, which comes up in text 236 and 237, where Gopakumara said, "These words of Narada greatly increased my anxious eagerness to see the lotus feet of Sri Gopal, my worshipable Lord. Quickly, a powerful storm-like urge also arose in me. A hope to achieve the kind of ecstasy that Narada had just described. Seeing me, okay, he's describing, I hope to achieve that ecstasy that Narada had just described. Usually one thinks that when one anticipates the experience of ecstasy, it brings great joy. Right? Imagine being told that something very, very wonderful is waiting you. That's just what Narada said to him in the previous verse. He said, very soon you'll surely understand it by the mercy of the Lord. You would think, when you hear something like that, very soon I'm going to experience ecstasy. You would think that would awaken happiness. I've got a blessing. I've been told I'm going to experience ecstasy. And you would think the normal way of thinking, no, a normal, I should say, the conditioned normal way of thinking is, I'm very happy that, and yes, now Gopakumar was happy, but why in the next sentence does it say, a hope to achieve that kind of ecstasy that Narada had just described? Then, seeing me cast by this hope and eagerness into an ocean of sorrow, Narada consolingly spoke. Now, how is it that the anticipation of ecstasy casts one into sorrow? What is it? What are the internal workings that the anticipation, two anticipations, now, it's described as like as a vortex of two types of emotions going on at the same time. One is the anticipation of meeting Manangopal, and the other is the anticipation of ecstasy. Okay? They're going on simultaneously. Now, why is it that Narada Muni, after saying this to Gopakumar takes it in, and then Narada sees him cast into an ocean of sorrow? Why? I'm going to try to explain that with this reference, rather than explaining it myself, with this reference from Srila Jiva Goswami, and which explains a little bit about what this experience internally is, that a devotee, the reason why a devotee experiences great sorrow, of course, one of the reasons is the devotee feels unqualified, because one of the symptoms of Mahabhava, which we've talked about before, and it will come up later in the next chapter, Dainya. Mahabhava can't exist without Dainya, which is total humility. And total humility means I have no hope. I have no qualification. So that's another reason why, like, there's sorrow. That's an emotion also that manifests because of that humility. Gopakumar's got that humility. He's demonstrated it. And we spoke about his humility wherever he was. He was always very simple, very humble, very naive. He wasn't looking for, he just wanted to stay simple, and he wanted to do whatever he was asked to do because he anticipated by doing whatever he was asked to do that he would somehow awaken pleasure in Madan Gopal. But as it turned out, every time he was asked to do something, it somehow it didn't, he didn't feel complete by the service. We've discussed that enough times previously that I'm not going to go back into a whole explanation. But I'm bringing that up because of Danya, his humility. But that's not mentioned by Jiva Goswami and Rupa Goswami, but I thought I should mention it. That's one reason. Now, in Bhaktivinoda Sindhu, it states in the description of these different types of bhavas, vyabhachari bhavas, which are transitory emotional experiences, that there are 49 states completely transcendental to the gunas of matter and are filled with spiritual bliss, being linked to the appearance of Krishna. However, it may appear as if some of these states, such as pride or garva, harsha or jubilation, supti, sleep, and hasya, joking, arise from the mode of passion. And others such as vishada, or despair, dinata, loneliness, moha, bewilderment, and shoka, lamentation, arise from the mode of ignorance. Okay. In the commentary, it is stated, and I'll read it slowly. The meaning of these verses, of the verses, is as follows. Because they are filled with the presence of Krishna, these bhavas are filled with spiritual happiness. And because even vishada, vishada means despair, and because even vishada and other sorrowful emotions are related to Krishna, they should be said to be filled with happiness. The appearance of bhavas which involve sorrow arise through thinking that one will not attain Krishna. In other words, that's why this, I won't attain it. I have no qualification. We've spoken about before how the in the first volume these points were covered, that a devotee doesn't feel he's qualified for Krishna's mercy, doesn't have love for Krishna, and he doesn't do enough service for Krishna. Right? How will I ever get this mercy? So, the cause of the appearance of bhavas which involve sorrow arise through thinking that one will not attain Krishna. However, the cause of that sorrow is a previous experience of Krishna. Of course, I'm not going to go into all the details. Previous experience of, at best, only there are different types of separation. There's purvarag, there's man, there's prem vaichitya, and pravas. Purvarag is separation before meeting. That means devotee thinks I've not yet met. And because if devotee thinks that way, of course, the residents of Braj, they also have purvarag. And in fact, if you read in the Ananda Vrindavan Champu, there's a whole chapter that Kavi Kanapur describes the awakening of Purvarag in the gopis. You know, the whole description about their awake. There's certain types of stimulus for Purvarag. So, the cause of that sorrow is a previous experience of Krishna. So, at most, or at best, a previous experience of Krishna can be awakened by hearing about him. Hearing about Krishna. That's an experience. Krishna says, Naham tishtami vaikunti yoginam hridayeshuva. Right? He says, when the devotees are discussing my glories, I'm there. So that's an opportunity to get, by hearing about Krishna, one gets an experience of Krishna. Of course, Radharani, and she experiences Purvarag by hearing about Krishna, or sometimes like Lalita draws a picture of Krishna, and she sees a picture of Krishna, and she thinks, oh, she becomes overwhelmed with this separation by seeing a picture of Krishna that Lalita has drawn. Of course, that's not Purvarag that we're experiencing. We're definitely separated. But hearing about him is an opportunity to get some experience about him, which is meant to awaken the hankering for him. Meant to awaken some feeling of wanting to associate with him. That's what's awakening, of course, in Gopakumar. He's hearing from Narada Muni. He's chanting his mantra. He's meditating on the chanting of his mantra. He has some experience already. He has some experience. So, the cause of that sorrow is a previous experience of Krishna. It is certain that the devotee's aspiration will be fulfilled and they will attain him. Of course, depending upon his greed. After attaining the Lord, in order to remove selfish thoughts that the Lord belongs to oneself, which may spring from that attainment, and in order to nourish the joy of attaining the Lord, Vishada and other sorrowful emotions appear as part of that bliss, just as hunger nourishes enjoyment of food. There's an analogy given. When there's hunger, food is more relishable. In fact, I think that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also gives that example when Krishna was holding Govardhan Hill and all the residents were standing under Govardhan Hill and they were experiencing hunger and intense hunger. And he said that just like hunger enhances the pleasure of eating, in the same way, all these difficulties which the residents of Vraj were undergoing in Krishna's presence intensified their experience of being with Krishna. It may look like suffering, but it simply intensified their bliss. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur used the same example for the residents of Vrindavan when Krishna was holding Govardhan Hill. It appeared they had been suffering, but it was just like hunger increases the pleasure of eating. Same way. In order to remove the selfish thoughts that the Lord belongs to oneself, which may spring from that attainment, and in order to nourish the joy of attaining the Lord, Vishada and other sorrowful emotions appear as part of that bliss, just as hunger nourishes enjoyment of food. Such emotions have the appearance of sorrow, but are not really sorrow. This state of happiness and sorrow in the devotee appears like happiness and distress which arise from the material gunas in the non-devotee. However, this state of happiness and sorrow is not the same. There's one more verse and another explanation, again, which helps us to understand more. This is text 77. Among the bhavas, it would seem that those such as Harsha are filled with happiness, and others such as Vishada are filled with sorrow. But the astonishing fact is that Rati, filled with sorrow, is considered to be the highest, most intense bliss. Rati here means prema, the ecstasy of prema. And in the commentary, one would assume that bhavas such as Harsha are filled with happiness and others such as Vishada are filled with sorrow. Rati has by its very nature some sorrow even in the meeting of lovers, because there is a predominance of longing during separation which causes suffering. Okay? So this sorrow is there because of longing of separation. And worry about separation during meeting which causes suffering as well. So even the longing causes suffering, and then during meeting there's the worrying about separation. So someone may say, wow, where's the bliss? There's the suffering before. And of course, again, I bring up this point only because my dear devotees, I'm not going to assume everyone is qualified to understand this, but please don't go to hear from the impersonalist to look for satisfaction after hearing this description. There is happiness in this sorrow. Its very nature is ecstasy. And that's what Gopakumara was experiencing. And Narada Muni was observing this. We spoke about before, we spoke about, what was it? Karuna Bhakti Ras. A Karuna Ras. Which was, Narada Muni was feeling compassion based on his observations of Gopakumara. And because he was feeling this compassion, just as the Lord doesn't like to see his devotees suffer, we read about that during the Bhakti Sangama festival, that when the Lord sees the devotee externally appearing to be so much suffering, even though it's great ecstasy, the Lord doesn't like to see it. And therefore, it prompts him to do something. To do something. We gave the example of when Mother Jasoda, Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd boys and gopis were standing by the lake where the Kaliya serpent wrapped Krishna in his coils. And Balaram told Krishna, look at how they're suffering. How can you do this, my dear brother? They're not ordinary devotees. They're not the Yadavas in Dwarka. They're not monkeys in Ayodhya. They're not associates in Vaikuntha. I could tell him, don't worry, he's God, he'll take care of all this. He's not really, but that doesn't work for them. They're suffering, and they're going to die. My dear brother, please don't let that happen. Don't let it happen. You can't let them die. When Krishna sees that, he can't ignore it. He can't be indifferent. Although it's the greatest ecstasy, he can't be indifferent. So, of course, what did he do? He unwrapped himself out of the coils of Kali and trained him up appropriately to become a servant. He took care of him. We gave the example during the Bhakti Sangama festival that the reason why, who was it? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I think, explained that the reason why Krishna allowed himself to be trapped in the coils, he wanted to show everybody what kind of a personality this Kaliya was. You know, therefore, he wanted everyone to see it. Just see who this person is, what he does, how much enmity there is, and how much pain he wants to inflict upon others. So, and then, of course, he reversed everything. But that's a secondary point. So, because there is a predominance of longing during separation, which causes suffering, and worry about separation during meeting, which causes suffering as well, thus it is said, and there's a verse that's quoted here. I won't read the Sanskrit. If I do not see you, well, I'll read the Sanskrit. Adrishte darshanot kanta drishte vichcheda bhiruta nadstena na drishtena bhavata labhyate sukha. If I do not see you, then I am filled with longing to see you. And when I do see you, I am filled with fear of separation. Thus, both on not seeing you and on seeing you, I do not attain happiness. So this is a little, I wanted to read this as a little explanation of what Narada Muni has revealed to Gopakumara. And another wonderful point that is worthy to take note of is in the previous verses, the explanation that Narada Muni was giving was that for those who are not qualified, it will remain hidden. But nonetheless, by saying this to Gopakumara, and by seeing Gopakumara's reaction to what he had just heard from Narada Muni, it became very obvious of Gopakumara's qualification. He wanted it. He wanted it, even though he knew it would bring sorrow, pain, and even though it threw him into an ocean of sorrow, he wanted it. And Narada Muni therefore said, yes. Therefore, seeing me cast this by this hope and eagerness into an ocean of sorrow, Narada Muni consolingly spoke. Consolingly spoke to Gopakumara. And I'll read one more verse, and then we'll stop for today. Sri Narada Uvacha Yad yapyetan mahab gopyam yujite natra jalpatum tatapitava kataya bharaya mukarito bruve. Sri Narada said, although this topic is most confidential and should not be talked about here, by the weight of your anxiety, I'm being forced to speak openly. Commentary. The secrets Narada is about to divulge are generally not discussed, even in Vaikuntha. In other words, as we've stated many times before, these discussions, they just don't, generally don't exist in Vaikuntha. It's not subject matter for the residents of Vaikuntha. They don't have any particular interest in hearing it. But yet, for the same reason that the Lord is very anxious to respond when he sees his devotees experiencing this kind of suffering, Narada Muni also was, as he said, feeling the weight of your anxiety. He was feeling the weight of Gopakumara's anxiety. And he couldn't restrain himself, and he had to speak about it in Vaikuntha. But what he spoke about was only touching upon what he'll speak about later. And he'll speak about what he speaks about later is far more enhanced by the symptoms of those devotees, description of the symptoms of those devotees. Why? Because of the place, and because of Gopakumara's intensity, of Gopakumara's hankering and anxieties that he was experiencing, which were enhanced as he moved along from one place to the next. Because now he's leaving Vaikuntha, my dear devotees. He's leaving Vaikuntha. Next stop, it's a short stop. Next stop is Ayodhya. And in Ayodhya, there's a more personal exchanges, personal descriptions between Lord Ramachandra and his devotees. Some of these personal exchanges will be described, and then we'll see that how Lord Ramachandra will be very quick to recognize Gopakumara, his nature, and Lord Ramachandra will jump in to give his blessings. Because Gopakumara, one of the things he needs is blessings all the way. Right? Devotees always needs blessings. He gets the blessings from everyone. Even when he leaves Vaikuntha, he's thinking, I have to go back to Lord Vaikunthanath to get blessings before I leave Vaikuntha. When, you know, Narada Muni tells him about the next place to go, and Narada says, don't worry, he already told me, and he gives you blessings. And he's not there anyways. So therefore, knowing that you would want to go someplace, he already told me to give you blessings. So he wants blessings all the way too. Because without the blessings, how can one move forward? And therefore, a Vaishnava is always very, very, very eager, very, very eager to obtain blessings. We'll see how in Ayodhya, Gopakumara will also not only get permission, get blessings, but get an increasing intensity of his desire to move to Dwarka, where he will see very many wonderful things, which far surpass his previous experiences. We'll end here. And we'll chant a little japa together. Tomorrow I will be giving class at 10 o'clock India time, 7:30 Moscow time, and there will be sentence by sentence translation from English to Russian. And we're going to be covering some of what we covered today. And what we will be doing, just for those devotees who will be coming tomorrow, we'll probably be moving a little slower in the sentence by sentence sections, and then we are moving in the straight English sections. So what will happen is, over time, we'll be covering the same topics, but we'll see how will be described. I have no idea, but we'll be covering. We're starting from the same place. Tomorrow we start with text 235, chapter 4, and.